Hello, 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 everybody. I'm super excited to introduce this first episode of the 99% Local Podcast. The tagline is, everybody has a story in Middle Tennessee. I'm your host, Chris Green. If you want to find out more about me and why this podcast exists, head to my website at 99%localpod.com. That is 99 with percent spelled out. So 99, P-E-R-C-E-N-T, localpod.com. Moving forward, you'll also find all of the future episodes, including the one you're about to hear. I can't say enough about the guest on my show today. This guy is one of the busiest guys I know, and he just continues to blow me away by the things he's doing. He's a full-time marketing director. He runs a clothing company. He's a pastor. He's a dad. He's a nutrition and fitness coach. Not to mention, he's a U.S. Marine Corps combat veteran. So strap in, buckle your seatbelt, and enjoy this conversation with one of my friends, an entrepreneur and marketing professional, Mark Glesny. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Rock and roll. So thanks for doing this.
Yeah, pleasure.
I was going to have you kind of give me like a 30-second elevator pitch, but I think you're so busy that you wouldn't be able to do that in 30 seconds, but can you kind of just introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Mark Glesny. I'm currently the marketing director for HarperCollins in Nashville. That is what I call my day job, my career. Passionate about marketing, and so much so that I do it on the side for fun. And so I've got a couple businesses that I've been a part of over the last couple years, one being I'm the founder of a clothing company called Efficacy Clothing Company. And that's a Moto Music and Whiskey brand that I started 2014. So those are kind of my two big endeavors right now in terms of professional and entrepreneurial endeavors. Been married to my wife now for 13 years, and I've got three kids, currently 9, 7, and 3. And so that keeps me busy on the home front as well.
Yeah. So I was reading an article, I guess, that someone did about you and when you're in California.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was just listing all the things that you're doing. So, pastor, you're ordained pastor?
Correct.
Okay, so yep. Kind of walk me through that and how.
Yeah, you know, how so believe it or not, I was even doing more in California. I've shed some of those things since moving, but was ordained as a pastor. I'd actually have to look at what year that was. That was probably about 6 years ago or so. Was ordained, was never on a staff at a church. I was always a volunteer teaching pastor. Kind of got asked to teach one time to fill in for the pastor one time on a Wednesday night. And then he listened online to the sermon and said, hey, you know, we've got some changes going on with the college ministry. I'd like you to think about taking that over and kind of turning it into a teaching ministry. And so I did that. And then kind of through teaching the college ministry, ended up starting to fill in quite a bit for the senior pastor and do men's events and women's events, and started teaching on Sunday mornings when he would be out of town. And so kind of had this growing teaching ministry. And then, I kid you not, was in worship service one day with my wife, sitting in the chairs like everyone else, and pastor comes down the aisle during the last worship song, and he taps me on the shoulder and says, the elders have voted unanimously, they're going to make you a pastor, so pick a date. And then walked up and announced it to the whole church. Yeah. And said, they're basically going to be ordaining you. So I didn't go to seminary necessarily, but I was ordained as a non-denominational pastor. So I'm full-fledged pastor for sure. I just didn't do all the 4 years like my father did. And so never planned on being a pastor, but it was a very cool season at our church in California to just get a lot of opportunity for years and years and years to teach. And to be honest, it's actually really helped my communication skills, both as a marketer, and now the company I'm at now, I do a lot of presentations, especially on the digital and social media side. And people say, oh, are you preaching at a church? I said, no, but I'm still preaching. It's just I'm preaching about social media and digital marketing more and more. And then I've always loved communicating and talking. And so that just kind of really helped me find my voice, though it was in the pulpit and around a specific kind of study methodology. It was definitely good for me to do that. So, I'm a pastor, if you can believe it. Proof Jesus has a sense of humor.
So stepping back a little bit from that, so you're not originally from California. Originally, when we were talking a couple months back, you were actually born in Joliet, Illinois.
Yep, born in good old Joliet, home of the Blues Brothers and the state pen.
So how did you go from Joliet to California?
Yeah, so the long story short is my family, so I was kind of born and raised in Joliet, My dad's a pastor, was a 40-year pastor, Lutheran pastor. Now he's a president of a Christian education organization. But so he pastored a church in Joliet for 17 years. Then we actually moved to California just for 2 years while he planted a church for the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. So just 2 years in California. Then we moved to Minneapolis, my eighth grade year. So from eighth grade through high school, I lived just north of Minneapolis in Coon Rapids, went to high school in Fridley. So I kind of consider that back home because that's where all my high school friends are from.
Yeah.
And so Joliet, Illinois, to Corona, California, to Coon Rapids, Minnesota. And then when I turned 18, had to go off to college. Always kind of knew I'd want to just kind of go away. I've got an amazing relationship with my parents. But my parents knew, like, you're the type that's just going to have to go have your own section of the country. So it was kind of a debate between Colorado, Washington. Ended up finding a small school in California. Never thought I'd go to California. And even when I decided to go to the school in California, I said, well, I'm going to go here for 4 years. I'm going to learn how to surf and scuba dive, and I'm getting out as soon as I graduate because I'm not a California guy. So that was me talking as an 18-year-old. So if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And so 4 years later, I'm graduating. I had met my now wife. We were dating. She was 2 years behind me. She was going to be doing graduate work to get her teaching credential. And long story short, my career started snowballing. Stayed in California ultimately for 18 years, which I can't even actually hear that number come out of my mouth. Yeah. And so 18 years later, last couple years, we really kind of knew we were going to be getting out. We didn't know where. And then luckily, by the grace of God, we found Middle Tennessee beginning of 2017. So, yeah. So Joliet to California to Minnesota, back to California, and then moved to Tennessee, Spring Hill, Tennessee in December of 2017.
Yeah. So college was your studies in marketing and...
It was not. It was in communications,
okay.
Which that almost makes the whole teaching side and liking to talk more, obvious now. But yeah, it was a communications degree with an emphasis in ad and PR. I really wanted to be an ad guy. I wanted to be an ad account exec guy. And ironically, actually my boss said this Tuesday. I was in Charlotte for work with my boss, and I kind of told him the same story, and he said you kind of are an account guy, because I work now with two very high profile authors, and I service just the two of them because they're so high profile they need full time support year round. And so I kind of am an ad guy now in this current role, but ultimately back to graduating, just kind of realized that one, the ad agencies and the PR agencies weren't hiring a lot. There was such instability in 2003 with the digital revolution and complete control of kind of a lot of the marketing stuff. And so kind of sensed that the ad and PR side, and I had a brother-in-law that was in PR, was very unstable. And then ended up getting a marketing internship. I had to get an internship to graduate from college. And got that and started to realize that I was coordinating ad efforts. I was coordinating PR efforts. I had an ad agency on call. I had a PR guy on call. And then on the inside, being in-house marketing, I was able to really focus on a lot of the digital stuff. Because, I mean, digital agencies hadn't really begun yet. I mean, 2003 was MySpace and LinkedIn were the only, there wasn't entire companies dedicated to social, media marketing. So... Yeah, so I'm actually a comm ad PR guy. I thought I was going to be a madman, but here I am.
Okay.
More of an Instagram man.
Yeah. So flipping gears again, you're huge into fitness, nutrition.
True.
You started a boot camp here in our neighborhood, so... So how did you get into that?
Yeah, so fitness has kind of always been a thread as well. Just growing up, always in sports up until like eighth grade, just heavily into baseball. I got into high school, ended up doing three different sports in high school. I did wrestling, track, and soccer in high school. And then in college, went to do track, did a freshman year track season, and then found the rugby team and ended up playing rugby in college as well. And then after college, shortly thereafter, joined the military and joined the Marine Corps. And of course, fitness is a big part of that. Yep. I was in the Marine Corps for 6 years. During that 6 years, my alma mater, my local university, asked me to start a fitness boot camp. And so did that and loved that. Ran that boot camp at the university for 9 years, pretty much every semester and almost every summer. So it was kind of year round. And so fitness has just really always been a thread. And then, of course, I just train myself on at the gym and stuff like that, and work out with friends and run Tough Mudders. And I like the community aspect of it more so than the kind of narcissistic me with my headphones angle on it. And so, so when I moved here, we were here for a year or so. and just missed kind of the camaraderie, missed just training with other people and watching the connections that grow from that. I mean, I've performed multiple weddings as a pastor of people that I met through my fitness boot camp at the university. Yeah. In fact, my first calendar year in Tennessee, I had to fly back for three different weddings. Two of them were people I had met from boot camp, and I performed their wedding. So, yeah, we started a local neighborhood fitness boot camp with no other intention other than to meet other people and have some fun. And it's just kind of always been a passion of mine. So, yeah, fitness and nutrition. And one of the, you know, one of the side businesses that I had in California, and even for a time that I was here, I was a kind of a partner in a meal prep company. And so really love kind of the science of what's known as macro-based nutrition. And so I like to teach that a lot too. So fitness and nutrition is just kind of a constant thread, things that I love. So
cool. So you mentioned Marines too. I wanted to bring that up. So did you go into the Marine Corps right after high school then?
I actually went after college and after I enlisted, college, if you can believe that. I didn't go officer. So about a, let's see, I graduated in 2003 and by spring of 2004, I was headed to boot camp with a friend of mine. You know, 2003 is when we invaded Iraq. For better, for worse, regardless of people's opinions at the time, I agreed with the decision. We can debate how that all panned out. Hindsight's 2020, but we'll kind of watch the invasion from the comfort of my dorm room. Graduated, had my career rolling, had my now wife, who I knew supported me, had a great family system, had a great faith, had a great foundation, was in the best shape of my life, and just figured, if not me, who? And if not now, when? So, just kind of really went in with this idea that I want to serve, I want to help the effort, and so went in, if you can believe it, volunteered to go to Iraq, and so got on a team, had to like try out. There was like 80 people that tried out, and got on a team of 30. I had kind of a specialized unit that I was a part of, and so I was in for 6 years. I was in Iraq for 05 and 06, two phases of the war. And it was a great time. It's not one of those things that I think defined me, but I think it refined me. And it just kind of sharpened some edges. And so I'm not a, if you normally meet me, you'll hear me ranting about Jesus and social media usually. You know, I'm usually not running around in a Marine t-shirt or anything like that and kind of living off my past escapades with the Marines. But it was a terrific time. I met some dear friends. And there's a camaraderie in the Marine Corps that's unparalleled anywhere else in the world. So I'm fortunate to have experienced it.
No, that's interesting. You said you volunteered and then you have to kind of try out. You don't hear about too many people doing that.
You won't read that in New York Times. Again, my unit was pretty specialized. And so we had more people wanting to go than what was called our detachment, where we would actually detach from our unit, attach to another unit, and then run ops in country. And so there were more people that wanted to go on a given detachment than we had room for. And so you would have to, they would look at your physical score, they'd look at your shooting score, they would take a look at your proficiency and your MOS, your military occupational specialty. And so it was kind of one of those things that you almost kind of got to laugh at, because when you're hearing the stories that they'll tell you is, oh, people are getting drug up from retirement, no one wants to go, and you got groups of Marines over in Long Beach, myself included, trying out to get over there. So, so it's, you know, my wife will roll her eyes at that. She's like, of course you would volunteer to go. You know, but it's just kind of, I mean, I liken it to, regardless of your opinion on war, regardless of your opinion on a lot of things, like it would be like training to be a firefighter and never getting called to a fire. Do you want a house to burn down? Probably not. But when one is burning, do you want to use your training? You do. Right. And so for me, it was like there was a fire going on across the world. And I was trained, and so I was ready to go. So that's kind of how I looked at it.
But, awesome.
Yeah, so six-year stint in the Corps, and I survived. Okay.
And then you got out and...
survived.
Survived, yeah. All right, so the coolest side hustle, I think, in my opinion, you do is the clothing company.
Yeah.
So others might disagree.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, so... No, because when I originally met you, it was at a back-to-school thing because our kids go to school, and you were wearing an August Burns Red shirt. I'm like, oh, that's an awesome shirt. So then I kind of...
The one that says Angry Music for Happy People?
Yes. Yeah. And then I think I looked you up on Facebook. I saw you had the clothing company, and then I saw all these bands were wearing your shirts. I'm like, oh, this dude's cool.
Well, fooled you.
So walk me through that and how that got started and how you got into that.
Yeah, I love my clothing company. I love my brand. I just love running a brand. I started my first brand in 2008. It was a scuba diving clothing line because I was big into scuba diving. So I cut my teeth on a very niche scuba diving clothing line. I actually wrote kind of my own business proposal, not like I was getting investors or anything, in Iraq. I kind of sketched out how I would do this on a shoestring. Learned a lot, ran that for 6 years. Then in 2014, shut that down, got together with two buddies, one of which is an artist, another one which is kind of a media networking, social media guy-ish that I was working with at my full-time job, and just said, let's do something fun. Let's go into this American-made space. Let's go into this handcrafted space. Let's become a maker, you know, kind of that maker revolution. Yeah. And so we set out at the time to just create a hand-lettered American-made clothing company, graphic tees primarily. And what that – so we launched it just a few months after the concept for, if I remember, $823.78.
Okay.
So the whole thing – we did a blog post on it. It's the only reason I know that number. So we launched the whole brand on $823.78. We bought 96 t-shirts. We bought screen printing for those two styles of t-shirts. We bought a one-year subscription to Squarespace website in 2014. Mm-hmm. That all equates to $823.78. And then we used what I do for a living, which is organic social media stuff. Of course, this is pre-Instagram algorithm and some of that. Yep. Got our tees into the hands of some friends, started a local culture, but then also a couple influencers that were on the rise that I had kind of mapped early on and kind of was watching their week-over-week trajectory. A guy in Houston and a gal in Florida, who I'm still in contact with. And kind of got them some free shirts and kind of took the same approach I always take with influencers. Says, look, love what you're doing. Just simply want to be a part of it. No strings attached. We're not coming with a contract and you owe us this and we owe you this. It's just human to human. Sure. I'm just really big on person to person. And we're actually just friends. Like, actually strike up friendships with people. And so between those two influencers who both happened to ride motorcycles, they posted, and I mean, shirts that had nothing to do with motorcycles. I mean, and by the way, we started the company the worst way you could possibly start a clothing company. Do not do this. One shirt did not have our name on it. The other one only had our name on it. It's the worst way you can start a clothing company. One says you're going to get no brand recognition, and the other one says you assume you have brand recognition and you don't.
No, that's true. Yeah.
So we started the worst way possible. But we started kind of this organic movement, and those two influencers, apart with, of course, some of the social media stuff that I just kind of do by nature, it's like my second language, we started to rise. And so we found ourselves with a lot of motorcycle folks, and I ride, and I was riding a motorcycle exclusively in California. I'd sold my car when my first son was born, but kept my bike. Normally you sell your bike when your kid is born. I kept my bike, and so I was living the moto culture for sure. And then kind of as we've moved into Tennessee and just some of my passions, my natural passions have lended all three of the founders, the guys that I started this with, we all love metal. We all love metal music for many reasons. But one of the cool things about the metal scene is it's not like trying to reach out to some country star to wear your stuff.
Right.
The metal scene gets approached very differently and in a very limited way. So long story short, the gal influencer that we kind of launched with in Florida, her boyfriend at the time was coming through town, and we had worked with him and done some photos with him, and he said, hey, I'm on tour with a band. I'm a sound guy. I'm a sound engineer. Would love to finally meet you guys, you know, because I'm in California. I said, sure, let's meet up at Self Help Fest. Had no clue who it was, where he was going, and then we'll ride motorcycles the next day up and down the coast. So went there again just to be a friend, to be a human. And then I'm driving to the venue, and he's like, hey, make sure to pick up the VIP at the VIP station. Don't go to the regular wheel call, whatever. I said, okay, cool. I said, who are you on tour with? He said, August Burns Red. He goes, have you heard of them? I said, heard of them. They're like my favorite band. And he goes, oh, yeah. We'll hang out backstage with them. We'll go on the bus and talk. Did you bring shirts? I'm sure they'll wear them. And I'm like, no, I didn't bring shirts. You know, like, I didn't know what was going on. So we went and hung out with my buddy Ricky, who lives here in Nashville now. And got to meet August Burns Red, and they come on the bus. I'm like, where's the tea? Let's do this. I said, all right, well, I'll send you some. And so we got to meet them. And then, of course, that kind of opens up doors when you reach out. So I get to reach out to some of my favorite bands, Wolves at the Gate, Fit for a King, Phineas, Earth Groans, For Today when they were still around. I get to reach out and say, hey, look, We're this clothing brand. We're working with August Burns Red. We love the metal scene. We're not trying to get on your merch table. We're not trying to make money off this. We're looking to point our platform to what you're doing because we love the scene. And if you want more eyeballs, we're your guys. And then we send them shirts. You can wear whatever you want. You can wear what you like. Throw away what you don't. And inevitably, we connect with their photographers. And then, you know, you can see all the photos that we post here and there. So
What year was that?
We started in 2014.
Okay.
So we've been running it since basically the fall of 2014.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So ultimately, you moved from California to Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
And that's probably because of your full-time gig.
Yes. No? So we chose Nashville before I had the job.
Okay.
So we didn't know if we would leave California because I got a job and we were going to go where it went, or if we were going to pick a spot we wanted to go and wait for a job. And I flew out here to visit Ricky. So again, all this stuff works together. Yeah. And a couple other friends that had moved here in a span of a couple months, but I had never thought about Nashville, never thought about Tennessee or the South in general. Just didn't see myself as living here. Kind of like I didn't see myself living in California either. But so came to visit them in January 2017. It was a 36-hour trip to just hang out with some dudes, write it off on my clothing business because I got to meet with two influencers and we had a shop in town that was carrying our stuff so I could write the whole thing off on my clothing company. Came to Nashville 36 hours, but within 8, my wife texts me, "How's the trip going?" I said, "I found where I want to move." She goes, "Are you serious? Oh my gosh, we could live south in Williamson County. Yeah. We could live, you know." And so it all started with, again, my side hustle bringing me here to be, you know, be a human to other humans and hang out with some friends. Fell in love with it, and then we said, "All right, now we know where we're going to move." And so then we spent a couple months. I had 2 or 3 companies that I spoke with, and by I guess it would have been October of 2017. I got the offer, or November maybe. And then I said I'd be there a month from offer. And December 2017, we bugged out and never looked back.
So. Yeah. So can you talk a little bit more about what you do in your full-time gig?
Sure. Yeah.
And who you work with?
So yeah, absolutely.
Kind of a couple high-profile people.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm marketing director. It was a new position. Before me, it was an associate publisher position, but they wanted to transition into a marketing director role to oversee 2 very high-profile authors. Mm-hmm. And so I've got under my team works with Max Lucado and Lisa Turkhurst. And so Max Lucado has been an author and a pastor for 40 years. Lisa Turkhurst is president of Proverbs 31 Ministries. He's out of Texas. She's out of North Carolina. And so my small team, digital focused team, we've got to kind of coordinate all the business groups and all the different vestiges of the company which those brands touch. And everyone in the company, of course, wants more of those brands. And so our team is really small, but we really have to operate at a very high level. So it's very high profile work with very high profile authors. And so that's what I love, though. It's that deep branding, year-round branding. I mean, just Tuesday of this week, I was in Charlotte for a book that Lisa is writing for a year out, and I was a part of her focus group. Now, I'm not exactly her demo. I'm not, you know,
right,
a 40-year-old
exactly.
woman, but I'm working on it. So we get to do everything from be there for the focus groups to, you know, website, digital strategy, and then the PR tours and the media and all the different products that come from those and, you know, the audiobook campaigns and all that sort of stuff. We kind of oversee and coordinate those 2 large-scale authors kind of soup to nuts, which is a lot of fun, and they're terrific. Those 2 are as real as they come. I can say that I've spent so much time with them, and you read Max Lucado's books and you have an idea of what he's going to be like, and you just pray he doesn't shatter it. If you ever meet him, he won't.
Exactly,
he's even better.
Yeah.
And same with Lisa. You read her book, you feel like she's sitting right there pouring out her heart to you, like one-to-one as a friend. It's exactly how she is in person. So
awesome.
It's been really cool to see that side. Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, just marketing director and soup to nuts. Again, everything from strategy to tactics and implementation.
Okay. So you get to Tennessee. All 3 of your kids were obviously born here, right?
No.
Okay.
So they were all 3 were born in California.
They were, okay.
They were, yeah.
Oh, yes, because you've only been here for a couple of years.
Yeah, so we've been here at the time of this recording, 18 months.
Okay.
So 19 months, something like
that.
So all 3 of them are California natives, but they're definitely getting raised Tennessee.
Yeah, definitely. So when you do have time, when you're not working, what are some of the things you do? What are your hobbies? You said riding motorcycles.
Yeah. But. Yep. That's a big one. Love sports still. Love that my boys are in sports. I'm sure my baby girl wants to be in sports too. So I coach baseball in the spring. I coach soccer in the fall.
Something else to keep you busy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I've got, you know, practice tomorrow night with my soccer team. And what I try to do is Asher is my younger son. I coach his baseball team in the spring. And then my oldest son, Ethan, I do his soccer team in the fall. And so I'm not all of their coaches all the time. I definitely want them to have other coaches and learn to be shepherded and stewarded by other coaches. And so I do one in the spring and one in the fall. And then who knows, you know, they're starting to ask about different sports. My Asher's starting to ask about wrestling. I was a wrestler in high school in Minnesota where we take wrestling very seriously along with hockey. And we've got Ethan asking about basketball and some other stuff. So I don't think I'm prepared to coach basketball. So if he does that, I might have to bounce because I can't shoot a ball worth my life. That was my brother, not me. So so I love coaching. I love riding motorcycles. Just love the family stuff. I'm just like in full dad mode, just going to baseball games in the city, getting to explore as a family Tennessee and going hiking to waterfalls and going out to Chattanooga to the aquarium. And so we're just kind of like all of us are kids in a candy store again, just having a whole new state. We just feel like a lot more things to uncover and let alone just start driving outside of the state, we can get to so many places around here. So it's one of the things that we absolutely love. So yeah, those are a couple of the hobbies. Yeah. Other things, you know, just deal with business. I like business and like doing a little consulting here and there. I know it doesn't sound like a hobby to a lot of people, but I do nutritional counseling on the side. I do Facebook ad strategy for some people on the side. And so I'm what I do for a living, I actually tend to do as a hobby as well. So
yeah. Well, cool. So going back to the business side and, you know, all the endeavors you've gone through over the years, what do you think's, you know, kind of the unique skills or what's helped you with starting those endeavors and, you know, how do your values show up in what you do?
Yeah, very cool question. I'd say one skill that helped me is because a lot of people, if you sit down and you talk to me about starting a business and strategy and all that sort of stuff, they think that I've studied business my whole life. I'm not a marketer by trade. And so how do you go from being a marketing tactician to a business owner? And that's curiosity. And that's just wanting to learn. So people are like, oh, how'd you learn how to start a business? Well, I just thought through the steps and then I Googled them, like literally. It's like, all right, I want to start a clothing brand. Just Google, how do you start a clothing brand?
Right.
Or just, oh, you need to trademark your name. Okay. Do I know how to do that? No, but Google will tell me. Yes. And so I just Google, how do I trademark my name? How do I do this? How do I do that? How do I run a P&L statement? How do I deal with tax code? And I was in California, so it was a nightmare. You know, you just start being curious about things. And starting my first business was one of the best experiences because it's basically an MBA that you get paid to do if you do it right and quick enough. And so, you know, I'll sit down with MBAs, I'll sit down with business guys or entrepreneurs and be able to speak at that level, even though I don't have an MBA, maybe I haven't been, you know, run some Fortune 500 company because I've just done it. And so just being curious and wanting to be a learner. The other thing too that I preach a lot is what I call P2P mentality, is person to person. Everyone talks B2C and B2B and all this rubbish about like business to consumer and demographic talk and blah, blah, blah. Ultimately, it's about people. And business is nothing, marketing is nothing about people bringing value to other people, and that's it. If you can figure out that for whatever you're passionate about, if you're a person and there's other people and there's a value exchange somewhere between that, that's it. That's all of commerce for all of human history. Like, business is not that complicated. So we put out a t-shirt with some ink on it. There's a lot of people that do that. Where our value system comes in is where we start to play with that design, the value add to the shirts, the way that we treat our customers, the way that we build a community, that sort of stuff. And so there's other dimensions, of course, to it, but just being curious enough and then trying things. You know, I had a consulting business. I mean, I've probably had now four or five different businesses. They're not all still running, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And none of them were upside down necessarily, but some of them just weren't good businesses, you know, financially. Yeah. And so you just shut them down, you move on.
Right.
And so I think that's really just been kind of just being curious and loving people and wanting to use my passions to build something of my own. I'm kind of this weird hybrid, you know. There's all this talk out there of what is entrepreneurship, and you're either a corporate guy or an entrepreneur, and if you're a corporate guy, you couldn't be an entrepreneur. If you're an entrepreneur, you could never be a corporate guy, and I think I'm a hybrid. I love my day job just as much as I love my side hustles. I mean, I love the fact that I'll come from a corporate buttoned up like presentation during the day. I'll go home, have dinner, put the kids down, change into a black t-shirt and black jeans and go right back into the city and go to a metal show because my band is being worn by, or my clothes are being worn by the band on the stage. And so I think just that curiosity, that passion, just putting people first. We just always will. You'll see that if you follow our brand and see how we talk with people on social, you'll see that we've constantly said people are bigger, are better than products. And so I just fundamentally believe that. And kind of from that, just that passion and that kind of vision, it just kind of pours out. So it's still our story is still unfolding. So I don't know how it all ends, but we'll see.
So it sounds like the advice you'd give to someone wanting to, you know, kind of start their own business is just Google it.
yeah, Google it. Google's a pretty smart guy. And I would say, you know, there's so many different methodologies. I mean, there's mentorship and there's this, that, and the other. So many different ways to do that. For me, I knew I wanted to start an online business, an online brand. It was an online first. In fact, I started getting retailers coming to me for efficacy clothing before I ever had a retail strategy. They just started coming to me because I wanted an online, community-based, American-made, handcrafted brand, and I started to build that direct to consumer, and then I had retailers coming to me. So some people would say, man, you want to start a clothing brand, you got to build out this retailer plan, this strategy, this network, you got to be selling into all these stores before you have the right to go talk to the consumer. Some people would do that. That's okay, you could probably build a huge brand like that. I don't think that's the way things are going, right? Like, I don't follow Dick's Sporting Goods anymore on Instagram. I never did. I follow Under Armour, right? Sure. Like, I want direct access. Yeah. I don't need to follow the retailer necessarily. It's not to put down retailers, but it's just shifting. And the same is true with business. The way you can start businesses, first of all, has never been a better, easier, cheaper time to start a business than now. I mean, again, I literally started Efficacy with $823.78, right? And you just take a look at the brand. That's what we've done with that much. We didn't have to trademark right away. We didn't have to do massive inventory. We didn't have a huge branding schematic. I mean, now granted, I have my designer in-house, so that kind of cut costs, right?
Yeah,
but you can start it really quick. I mean, even all your legal stuff can, for the most part, be formalized with a website now. You don't need to go pay a lawyer $2,000 to run an LLC. You can probably go give $140 to LegalZoom and get the same thing, sure. You know? So it's a good time to want to try things. And there's so many different ways on the internet, obviously, to monetize value and ideas that if it's at all an inkling in someone, and you'll never learn more. And I'm better at my day job because of what I do on my side hustle. I have to learn things better because if that money runs out, the business dies. Right? So if I can learn a tactic that works with my clothing company and then take it to my day job at scale, and then I've got, you know, my budget that I've got over there, which I don't have over here. Oh my gosh, then I can just take what works and I can scale it. And then I can see what works at scale. So for me, they both fuel each other. I mean, my day job fuels my side hustle fuels my day job. That's why I'm pretty open about it on social. I'm not trying to hide that I have a side business. If anyone asks me in an interview about it, do you run a side business? Yeah. I do. Let me tell you some of the stuff that I've learned that you're going to benefit from. So it's a great time to be a business owner. So no matter how big or small or what idea. So
all right,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, stay curious and just Google it.
All right. So to kind of wrap up, something fun I want to do is kind of a rapid fire round. I'm going to ask you a couple questions.
I just did this with Max Cicado, so I deserve it. Yeah.
Okay. So you live in Spring Hill, Tennessee.
I do.
What's your favorite go-to spot here, whether it's a restaurant, store, coffee shop?
Yeah, I love Martin's Barbecue.
Okay.
I just love the barbecue. I love Nashville-style barbecue. If I'm thinking coffee, we love the Fainting Goat, you know. Yeah, I'd say those two.
All right, so cool.
Food and drink.
Favorite book?
That's a good one. The Explicit Gospel by Matt Chandler.
Yeah. I've not read that.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I may know this one, but favorite musical artist?
Musical artist, probably August Burns, right?
Okay.
But
yeah,
Wolves at the Gate would be a close second.
Okay. Favorite 90s jam?
Oh, man. 90s jam. I mean, I was a 90s grunge guy, so probably... Yeah. Anything from Nirvana, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, those guys.
All right.
Smells like Teen Spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
Nirvana, there you go.
This might be a little tricky, but your favorite joke?
My favorite joke? Man, I'm not a joke guy. What a question.
We can skip that one if you want.
yeah, that's tough. I literally know no jokes.
I don't know. I usually learn them from my kids, and then they're cheesy jokes.
Yeah, Asher's right. told me one. Sorry about that.
Nope, dang, we'll skip that one. Okay.
There's your editing. Or leave it. Leave it for the authenticity of me not knowing a single joke.
All right, so you're stranded on a deserted island. Food and water's taken care of. What other two things would you want with you?
Things, so not people, I assume. A pull-up bar and a fishing pole. All
right.
Fitness fishing and pole. Sushi.
Okay, yeah, definitely. All right, so is there anything else you think I should have asked or could have asked you? Maybe something else that others might not know about you?
No, I think that's it, man. Yeah.
Pretty much.
I just...
told it all.
I just vomited it all out, you know? So, yeah.
All right, that was a super fun conversation that Mark and I had sitting at his kitchen table just a few nights ago. If you'd like to find out more about Mark's clothing company, Efficacy Clothing, you can go to their website at efficacyclothing.co. That's EFFICACY clothing.co. And if you enter the promo code SPRINGHILL at checkout, you will get free shipping on all orders. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, you can visit the website at www.99percentlocalpod.com, or if you'd like to drop me a line, you can reach me at 99percentlocalpod@gmail.com. Until next time, have a great one.